Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
If you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you're here. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're taking the effort to be in worship with us, no matter where you are. Today, we are going to continue in our series about core and about who we are at the very essence and the center of our lives, and we're going to talk about worship. We've kind of turned everything upside down today, and so we're going to kind of do the things we normally do at the last. We're going to do those at the first today, and there's a reason. There's always a method to my madness. Don't ask people on staff. You just have to trust me. And so we really, really want to prepare you for worship in a different way today. And so for just to get us started, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ashley, and we're going to start with our kids today. So, Lord God, thank you for our time together today. Already, you have already done some great things in the lives of the people as they have come into your presence this morning. And so, just in one particular conversation, Lord, I know that you are moving. And Lord, if we will just open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit, Lord, if we will just not push you away today, Lord, if we will just not be selfish, Lord, if we will not just not be scared or timid or shy about how you want to move in our lives, Lord, I know that we will be transformed. And so, Lord, that's my prayer today for our children, for the adults, for those in the room and those that are online. Lord, you move by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the children would come up, have a time with Ashley this morning.
Y'all come sit right over here in the light. For the last few weeks, we have been following March Madness, and we have been doing our own Bible story madness in children's worship. And so just like we found out last night about the final two who will be playing on Monday night, we have our final two. And so I think they're going to throw it up on the screen so y'all can see a little better, but we had eight Old Testament Bible stories that the kids were familiar with, and eight New Testament, and we have voted every week, and we are now down to the final two. So I think we'll just let everybody vote, and we'll vote by cheers. Can we do that? Can y'all yell for your favorite story? Yeah. Parents, grown-ups, adults, can y'all yell for your favorite story? So we are down to Joseph and his brothers. This is a story that the kids love. It's Joseph was the favorite son of all of Jesse's kids. He was sold into slavery and later became one of the leaders in Egypt and was able to later save his brothers and forgive them and save his family. And then all the way down to Jesus' resurrection as our favorite story from the New Testament. So if you want to vote for Joseph and his brothers as your favorite story, let me hear the cheers for that one. Whoa. We've got two. All right. And then Jesus' resurrection. Okay. All right. So I'm not even going to write resurrection in this little box. I'm just even going to write Jesus. Jesus is the winner of all our Bible stories, right? Okay, so that's coming up, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, right? That's something to celebrate. And we heard how excited our congregation got, right? The cheers, that was pretty exciting. It's an exciting thing to celebrate, right? Do y'all like celebrating things? So when something goes really well for y'all and you're celebrating, you get a good grade on a spelling test, or you score a point in your game, score a goal, score a basket, score a run, you get a new belt in karate, maybe it's your birthday. Yeah, show me what you do. What do you do when you're excited? Happy. Yeah, exactly. You get excited. Like when I was a teacher and kids got good grades, I saw this kind of stuff and happy dances and whatever those little things are y'all learn videos from on YouTube and all that all the time, right?
All the TikTok.
Yeah. So we have a reaction when we're really excited about something, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We like to move. We like to dance. There's a song that comes on the radio, and if it comes on the radio in my car, My boys are telling me to turn it up. We start singing. We're singing at the top of our lungs. It's called Joyful by Dante Bow. I don't know if y'all have heard it, but it gets us moving. We crank it up. We're dancing. We're singing. We love that song. Do y'all have songs that make you do that?
Yeah, pretty much,
right? Okay. What about in here when the worship team is, do y'all ever hear a certain song that's just your favorite song and it gets you moving? Yeah. Lots of nods. No. Couple of no's. Okay. Do y'all know what a verb is?
Yes.
A verb. Okay. An action word. That's right, Ella. A verb is an action word. So I'm going to read y'all a couple of verses out of 1 Chronicles. And this is from 1 Chronicles 16. And I want y'all to see if you can tell me, no grades on this, but y'all see if you can tell me what verbs you hear when I'm done reading this scripture, okay? So 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 12. Give praise to the Lord. Make his name known. Tell the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell him about all the wonderful things he has done. Honor him because his name is holy. Let the hearts of those who trust in the Lord be glad. Look to the Lord and to his strength. Always look to him. Remember the wonderful things he has done. Remember his miracles. So what verbs do y'all hear?
Sing.
What? Okay, tell me, what words? Look, sing, trust, honor, sing, honor, give, tell. Okay, I said there were no grades, but Ella gets 100. Remember. All right. So she got all of them. I have them all highlighted here in yellow, and she got all the verbs I was looking for. So lots of action words here. It wasn't just sing. So do you know, this was actually King David talking, and he was talking about worship. Do you know why he's talking about so many verbs?
No.
No? He's telling us all these things we should do for who?
God.
For God. And so he's talking about all the ways we can worship him. And sometimes when we hear the word worship, we think that it just means singing along with the band on a Sunday morning. But that's not what it is. David tells us here, it's giving, it's singing, it's telling, it's honoring, it's trusting, it's looking, it's remembering. It's all action words. So all those things that he's telling us, those are all things we can do for God, and that is worship. Everything we do, every move we make, every action, everything we do can be a way that we worship God. It can be singing, but it can be in every action that we do. In the preteen Sunday school room, we have some signs. And it's to remind the kids what they should do every day when they go out of the Sunday school room after they learn their lessons. And the songs say, talk about God, pray to God, listen for God, and live for God. Y'all know that, right? My big kids who are in that class?
Yeah.
And do y'all talk about how you're going to do that every week? That's worship. So it's not just singing in church. It's not just when we stop and pray. It's what we do with every action of every day, all week long, to show God how much we love him. Okay? Can y'all bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for examples from David in the Bible who show us how we can worship you, Lord. Help us to remember that we can worship you in every action we do, every verb that we take place in our lives, every day of every week, Lord. Help us to remember that it goes beyond the walls of church and out into our lives every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, it is First Sunday, so you guys are going to go back and sit with your parents. If y'all need a little something to keep you busy, there are clipboards outside, okay?
Yeah, oh. Yeah, yeah.
I don't get my own music, and I've been here a lot longer than she has.
Are you going to say this?
I don't know. That's right, that's right. That's right.
I don't get a table like you do.
You bought me this table.
I did.
So. I'm just so glad that Ashley is not just teaching our children about scripture, but also English and grammar and all of the things. I'm like, what's a verb? I'm like, what's a verb? No, I'm just kidding. Really not, but I mean, you know, just...
That's our pastor.
Today is our way. Dallas and I are going to team teach today, and so it's definitely going to be a little different. And I'm going to ask the sound folks and the lighting folks, you give me a little light in the back so I can see some faces. Just a little recap from the last few weeks, just to talk about Ephesians 5:14. Remember, we started the whole year. It's kind of our theme. Talk about wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, right? And Christ will shine upon you. Oh, that's great. Now I can really see y'all. Thanks. And when we think about those, that passage of Scripture, where are you in your life where that needs to apply? It doesn't have to be just church life, even though it is mainly about your life and faith, but that should be everywhere that you are, not just on Sunday at 10 a.m. And then Scripture, okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, right? And then, for this is God's will for you in Christ. And so, how do you do that? And that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and we want to continue today. It's a two-part. You're going to be so happy to know that Dallas and I have some restraint, and as we were planning this, I said that we can't do this all in one Sunday, or y'all are going to be here until 2:15 or 3. And so we decided we would cut it at least in half. And so you'll be out by 1, we promise.
We really could have just stopped after the children's sermon.
We could have.
Because that was really good.
Because that really is the whole idea of our lives. And so today, to talk about how we deal with worship. What's going on with worship? And even the title for today is "What's the deal with worship?" We get so caught up, I think, in the church about the music being just worship that we want to talk to you about all about what worship is. And so the scripture for today is this: Hebrews 8:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And so the first thing is, what is this idea for us? What's the difference? Okay, what's the difference between praise? Because we talk about we're going to do praise and worship today. So what's the difference between praise and worship?
So the basic idea is that praise and worship, they go together. When I was growing up, we used to say the three fast songs was worship and the three slow songs after that was praise, which is not completely wrong, but that's really more than just the songs, I guess. Worship is kind of the overarching idea. We're putting ourselves in the right relation with the Lord. So I am little and He's big. I am just, He's all-powerful, that kind of idea, that kind of concept, having ourselves in that relationship is worship. It's a lifestyle, not just an occasional activity that we do. Oftentimes, a song of worship, if we're talking about songs, a song of worship is going to be, always a song of worship is going to be what we call vertical. It's me to the Lord. Always me to the Lord. The whole concept of worship is humble surrender. Now, when we talk about praise is typically something that you would do when you're really excited about something. Maybe somebody's done something really, really good job. Maybe Will played a great part on the keys. I'd say, "Way to go, Will! That was awesome. Did you guys hear Will play that part?" That is praise. If you're a North Carolina fan and you saw your team beat Duke last night, you'll be really excited, and you might tell your friend, "Man, did you see how good North Carolina played last night? What a great game they played." That is praise. And so when we take that in the concept and the framework of our relationship with Jesus, we do something like this. "Man, have you heard about how good the Lord is? Have you heard about what He's done for me?" So in that sense, praise can be horizontal. So I may be telling my friend about it, but the whole idea is I'm telling my friend about it and I'm pointing it back to Jesus. But it can also be vertical as well, where I'm saying, "Man, Lord, You're so amazing. Thank You for what You've done." Those are the two main differences between praise and worship there.
So when we worship and when we do praise and worship, when we're actually singing, a lot of people will say, some of you have said, whether you're here today or not here today or online or whatever, people in the church have said, "How come y'all are so kind of excited? How come Dallas screams? How come you're kind of dancing a jig up there sometimes? How come sometimes your arms are up, your hands are up, your eyes are closed, or they're open, or whatever? You want to answer that?
That's because I'm excited.
Exactly.
I'm happy.
Exactly. Just,
what we say a lot of times, we want in our worship, in our praise, I guess, we want what's inside our heart to be reflected outside of our with our body. And so I'm just excited about what the Lord has done.
Sure.
And that's why I do the weird things.
Sure. And so and also, I just want to say, every once in a while, you all need a little encouragement. Yes? Yeah, I mean, you're... I know I've seen some of y'all dragging the kids in from the car and through the parking lot into the building. You are not excited about worship, right? I've seen some of y'all, I've seen a few of you adults have spirited conversations before you come in the building about family, right? It's our part of worship leadership, and not just music, but worship leadership, Ashley, for the children, and actually Ashley for the adults, us for you and for the kids, is really to, a lot of pastors will say, usher you into the presence of God. No, the presence of God is here. When we get here, before we get here, because the presence of God is in all of us, it's our job, and I want to say a job, it's our role, it's our task, to reveal that presence. Okay, he's here, but sometimes we just have to get you into a place where you get past the screaming kid, where you get past the baby that just spit up on you as you walked into the door on baptism Sunday, right? And just all those things, okay? And for us, I've said it before, and this is a side note, sometimes we need you to do that for us because I'm just honest. Yes, we're happy and we're excited and we're glad to be here and we know what the Lord is doing. But sometimes it's hard. And I just want to sleep in. Dallas and I both walked in this morning and it was 7-ish, 7:15-ish. And it wasn't high five and booty bumps and all the good things. He goes,
it's never booty bumps. Maybe high fives.
Good point. I said, hey. And he said his thing that he always says. He goes, ¿Cómo estás? I said, I'm tired. And he went, me too. And he just kept on rocking. That was it. That was the high holy moment of us getting ready when nobody else was here. But yet, it's still about first things first. And here it is. Why do we do what we do? Not us. We. Why do we offer praise to God? Because why do we offer praise? Because first of all, God commands it. Okay, and he doesn't command it in an egomaniacal, selfish way. He commands it because of a lot of reasons, and I want to tell you those. Psalm 95, the whole psalm, okay? Psalm 95, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and honor him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands that formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the good people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, and as you did in the day of Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. Okay? For 40 years I was angry with that generation, and I said, they are peoples whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. But for us, let me tell you, he is not angry with us. See, that's Jesus, okay? He desires, he gave us Jesus so he would not be angry with us. And so we could enter his rest. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wants us to enter that rest with him. And worship helps us do that. Even when you're excited, see, there's peace and there's rest and there's joy. Because here's the deal about praise is that he desires it for our good. It really is yes. For our good. Not even for him. Yes, he receives the benefit of our praise because it makes, I love the song, to make Jesus famous. Okay, when we offer that and we tell our story and we do point to him, then it does honor him and it does glorify him, but it really is for our good. It really is for us to shout and sing joyfully. That's what the first two say. That when we have our purpose, it is about honoring him and his goodness, but it's about him, the goodness of him welling up inside of us. And so when you sing and when you worship, and it's not, see, I use those two different ways, when you sing and when you worship, those can be one and together, but they're also different outside of here. You're worshiping when you leave here today. Listen to this out of Jeremiah 32, 39 through 40. And I will give them one heart and one purpose, to worship me forever, for their own good and for the good of all their descendants. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me. See, it's for us. And so I think you have to get to a place where you're doing that out loud. Dallas said you're doing that, taking what's inside of you. Whether I'm not going to ever judge you if you don't ever do the Jimmy Swaggart hop. Anybody know what the Jimmy Swaggart? How many of you even know who Jimmy Swaggart is? Please, Lord, help me now. All right. You ever see Jimmy Swaggart with his Bible? I don't have my Bible up here. Right? He's got his Bible in his hand. He is doing the hop. How many of you went to a Baptist church? You've seen the hop, right? If you want to do that, great. But if you're not going to do that, you're not going to be judged. If you're not going to raise your hands, you're not going to be judged. But I think the way we do get judged is how are we worshiping? Not judged in here, I mean by God. Are we worshiping with all of our heart? However that looks. Verse 6 through 7, it says, you're commanded to worship submissively with your will. Okay? You willfully submit yourself to God. Willfully. I sometimes have to just say willfully, I am going to worship today. I'm going to praise today. I don't feel like it. I don't think that yesterday, gosh, the Lord just didn't do anything good for me. It was a terrible, no good, rotten, horrible day. But I am just going to willfully do it. Okay? I'm sick or I'm tired or I'm mad at Dallas, or Dallas is mad at me, or, you know, somebody outside, whatever it is, but I willfully do that. And then it says this, and to bow, okay, and to kneel. I would just so love for you to get to a place in your relationship with God, if one day, even if it's not here, that just maybe even at work, hallelujah, somewhere else, that you would just kneel and bow before him. And just give glory and honor to him, whether you're in worship here or not. Because here's what worship is supposed to do for us, for our good, is to transform us. 100% to transform our lives and pattern that outside in the world. And then finally, verse 7 says this. If, okay, listen to me, let me get back to it. If, verse 7, today, if you hear your voice, if you hear his voice, if, you have to be open to it. You have to be ready to receive it. You have to be put yourself in a posture of listening. We've all been through classes. We're taught as kids. We're taught in corporate world. If you're a supervisor or whatever, to be attentive. How many of you are married? You need to be attentive and listening, right? Robin and I talk about this all the time. Actually, Robin, if it's anybody that's not being attentive, it's me because I like to multitask. And it's kind of like, even when Dallas and I talk, just all week this week, we're doing 1,000 different things. And you really can't be attentive when you're doing that. We have to be attuned to him and listen. So here's the last thing. He really wants you to have your emotions involved. For those that whatever you're feeling, God is not too small for you to give him your emotions. Okay, he is not going to be overwhelmed with either your joy or your anger. He's not going to be overwhelmed with your happiness or your sadness. He's not going to be overwhelmed with anything that you give him. Here's what we don't do. We do not play on your emotions. I don't try to get everybody in the room crying so we can have a great altar call, right? You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again because I'm kind of proud of it. Even at church camp, we don't do that. Robin, she just can't believe that I send kids back to their seat when we have an altar call for salvation when I know that they are already saved. So entertaining for me to walk by and go sit down, go sit down. Dallas is going, are you sending kids away from the altar? I am. Because it is emotional. I want you to have emotions, but our faith in God is not an emotional response. It's a willful response. It's a willful response. Because if you're always worried about emotions, it's going to be a short trip. It's going to be a short trip. And so finally, I just want to say this. The last part, verses 1 and 2, we go back to that sing and sing joyfully. But we get all the way down and it says, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Because this, for the Lord is the great God. We worship because God is great. Why do we have faith in him? Because he's greater than all the little g gods. He's greater than, he is greater than Texas Tech basketball. Amen? Boy, that wasn't a resounding. That's really bad theology out there.
We'll address that here in a minute.
Yeah. He is the great God. He is the shepherd. The second reason we already do it, that we worship, is really because you already are out there praising. You already are out there worshiping.
Yeah, that's right. No matter what it is, whether it is Texas Tech basketball, whether it is whatever it is, you're worshiping something. It's because it's hardwired in our DNA. That's how the Lord made us. It even said so, just like we read in Jeremiah 32, and I will give them one heart and one purpose to worship. And sometimes we don't do this next part, worship me forever. To worship, to put something on a pedestal, to lift something up in our lives is very natural. For some of us, it's Texas Tech basketball. I will confess that I am a hardcore Texas Tech fan, and sometimes my love for Texas Tech might overshadow my love for other things. And so, if you're like me, I can imagine that it's difficult for you sometimes as well. Sometimes maybe it's now this might get me in trouble, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Sometimes maybe it's family.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put my family above God. I'm gonna worship my family. Let's just be real. Man, attending to your family is a good thing. That's what we're called to do. But if we put our family above God, if we are in right relationship with our family but not with God, then that's probably something we need to address. There's a quote from this guy named Matthew Tingbald. I want to read it to you. And then I have another quote from this guy you may have heard of named C.S. Lewis. So Matthew says, the way we see it, worship is not unique to God or religion, though we in the church often use the term in a religious context. Worship is the most natural thing humans will ever do. Religious or otherwise, it's hardwired into our DNA. So God isn't asking us to do something that's unnatural for us. Remember, he's asking us to redirect our focus onto him. So whenever I throw my hat at the TV for Texas Tech, whatever it is, there's been multiple times that I do that. I think I've even got Ella trained to retrieve it for me so I can throw it again. But whenever I'm worshiping at the altar of Texas Tech, maybe I need to redirect that focus and that passion, that energy into worshiping Jesus. And so I would encourage you guys to do the same. I want to read this C.S. Lewis quote. Now, stick with me. He has some big words, but man, it's so good. C.S. Lewis says, the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. Though I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor, I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise, unless shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. The world rings with praise. Lovers of praise Lovers praising their lovers. Romeo praising Juliet and vice versa. Readers, their favorite poet. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. The praise of weather, wine, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, basketball teams. I added that part. Countries, historical persons, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. I had not noticed either that I am, that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that is magnificent? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men ought to do when they speak of what they care about. And so I want to encourage us all to think of it in that way, to think of it and just like I was talking about when I was saying, Matt, have you heard about what God has done for me? Come and look. Come and see. Right. He's so good. We want to redirect those passions and those energies into worshiping Jesus and to take our focus off the earthly things, rare stamps, rare beetles. I can't imagine being so excited about rare beetles, but I know there's somebody.
I can't imagine being so excited about boots.
Yeah, man.
As you were.
So, yes. I told everybody about my new boots when I got them. I mean everybody, probably 50 people.
Passing around his, turning his computer around and staff
meeting. Have you seen my boots?
He goes, have you seen this new boots I'm going to get?
Yes. Or my other shoes, my Jordans.
Yeah, your Jordans that you got for Christmas?
I've wanted Jordans since I was in sixth grade, and I finally got some. My lovely wife and daughter bought them for me. But anyway, I told everyone about my Jordans and everyone about my boots. And man, if I could only be so bold as to tell everyone about Jesus, if I could only be so bold to tell my friends and at least 50 people what God has done for me and my family.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you guys to think of it in that way, to frame it in that way. We praise, the excitement of our praise comes out, whatever it is.
So the last part that we just want to highlight is, first of all, so do you see it's not just about music? It's not just about 10, 10:15, 10:30, 10:45 on Sunday morning. It's really about everything outside of us. And then this last thing is praise and worship really puts us in right relationship with God. It puts us in a right posture that so we can hear, so we can see Him, and so we can interact with Him and He with us. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make it boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Humility is where we want to end today. Our humility in worship. Because the last thing we ever want to communicate is that praise and worship has anything to do to focus on us. Ever. Not Dallas and a new guitar or new boots, and not me with jumping around, or not whoever's holding their hands up, or not stage and lights and screens. All those are the encouraging, energizing factors to get you moving. It's not the focus. Because I know Dallas agrees with me 100%. He could unplug, get an acoustic, all this could go away, and we could go out in the empty field behind the church, and it would be just as good for worship. Just as good. And so for all of us, how do we humble ourselves to that point? How do we make His name famous? And that is to look at Jesus all the time. Humility, even to... I've got a whole bunch on humility, and I thought it was really a great joke that God pulled on me when Dallas said, why don't you take the section on humility? I thought, yeah, that's no problem. And then I start looking at it, and I don't know how to communicate humbleness and humility when really, just going to confess, nobody laugh because I'm being really serious here, is I don't know how to be, communicate humbleness. Not that I don't try to be humble, but I started thinking about it and thought, if I have to think about being humble, then all of a sudden I've made it about me again. If I have to think about humility and just being good or not being proud, then all of a sudden I've made it about me again. And I don't know that that's right because I really spent, I mean, Dallas and I spent 5-6 hours talking and looking through this. I spent all morning yesterday trying to figure out humility. I haven't figured it out yet. At least how to communicate it. So Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Let me just, this is my best thing about humility. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each one should look not to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. The King James Version says right there, but he made himself without reputation. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. Every tongue could confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, I think that if we are worried, I think humility comes down to this. If I'm worried about my own reputation when I'm in front of you, then I'm not humble. If I'm worried about what people are going to think about me because of the way I dress or don't dress, whether Dallas got great boots or he got Air Jordans or he screams when he's worshiping or if I dance a jig or whatever it is, if that's what we're focused on, then we are not humble. We're just not. If you've ever thought, I really want to raise my hands and praise Christ, but gosh, I know somebody sitting behind me is going to go, what are they doing? Then you are not humble. Or even if you raise your hands so you can go, I want everybody to see that I'm good with just raising my hands, we are not humble. Does that make any sense? Any sense whatsoever. So what do we need to do to be humble? I think that we have to put our own reputations aside and we just need to keep looking at Jesus and say, Jesus, what would you do? Jesus, how would you want me to act? Jesus, how would you want me to worship? Jesus, how would you want me to praise? I know this person needs to hear about you. How should I do that? Don't worry about me. Don't worry about how I feel. Don't worry about how I'm going to look. Don't matter how great I'm going to be in their eyes or how silly I'm going to be in their eyes. Lord, just use me. Just use me. Because I think there's a place deep in our soul, deep, deep, deep in our soul where that humility has to come out. Not just looking at ourselves, but looking at Jesus. Because here's what I know about me. You know what I worship? I worship the things I worry about. Amen? You worship, whether you know it or not, I worship the things I worry about. And I'm just going to confess them. My wife, my daughter, my money. I think that's it. Not even my health, but my wife, my daughter, and my money. Not that I don't think I will, I'm not going to confess that I've ever put those before God, even though I probably have, but just the idea of the things that I worry about, I know that's what I bow down to. And then when we get in here, here's the other thing about humility. It's a play on words if you spell it out, if you read a sentence. Instead of when you hear God's call on your life, instead of bowing up to it, right? Instead of, I'm not going to do that. Not even here. Not even in song. Not even in church, but somewhere else. Whatever God's calling you to, I'm not going to do that. Instead of bowing up, how about bowing down and saying, Lord, just whatever it is, Lord, give me the strength, give me the peace, give me the patience, give me the boldness, give me the understanding to bow before you, Lord, to worship you and to praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Father, for us today, Lord, I want us to come to a new place in our heart about worship. Not singing. A new place in our heart about praise. Not songs. But Lord, about our heart. About how we communicate to others, how we communicate to you. And we just might sing a song. We just might play an instrument. We just might dance a jig. We just might sway a little bit. We might hop and we might raise our hands and we might clap. Or we may just sit with someone and pray. We may just extend an offer of grace and of peace and of mercy to someone. We may just encourage someone to speak about our life and the great things you have done in us and through us. Or how we've struggled through them. Knowing that you are still by our side, that you never left us and you never forsake us, even though it may not have ever worked out, but you are still God. Lord, that's praise. Lord, that is worship. Let us tune to that and let it be in us that really goes out into the world, because that's when transformation will happen. Lord, let us always know that without transformation, we're either just talking or we're just singing songs. Without transformation, there's not a prayer. It's just words. Without transformation, it's not praise or it's not just worship. It's just singing or it's just talking. Lord, let it be for all of us in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.